violence, to white supremacist violence, presumably they will not be labeled terrorist organizations. So this bill really is a disaster. And I'm hoping that we can stop it in this Congress. But be aware that Congress that is coming in is, you know, Trump has his trifecta. He's got the entire Senate, the House, the White House, and the Supreme Court. So he might be able to push this through even so. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people have been saying lately since he was reelected is do not obey in advance. One thing that fascist governments rely on is for people to not even have to be told what to do before they bend the knee. And this kind of law really puts pressure on nonprofit organizations to obey in advance, right? To try to avoid the spotlight of the Treasury Department, you know, seeing them and shutting down their operation without due process. So it's a terrible, terrible bill.
Yeah.
It's called a chilling effect.
Representative Reynolds, one of the interesting, you know, Representative Reynolds, one of the interesting thing about 94-95 is the fact that there is no due process for the C3 organizations. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, they don't get a hearing. You know, there's not a chance for them to voice their dissent. There's not a chance for them to voice why they think that the IRS is wrong in the designation that it would be, you know, connoting upon them. And that just on its face, you know, just I think lends toward what Terry is saying, is that, you know, you're given an authoritarian position to try to go ahead and quell any voice of dissent. And it would also cover C3s that are involved in demonstrations. If you want to have a demonstration, a rally that's against their interests, they can then be designated as a terrorist and lose their C3 status. So it, to me, Representative Reynolds, I'd love to hear your thought. You know, it just seems to go against everything that America is about.
It is. I mean, when you talk about the hypocrisy of the far right, they believe in limited government and they believe, quote unquote, in free speech. Well, this bill would give President-elect Trump unprecedented power to strip nonprofit organizations of their funding. And it definitely weaponizes the government against those organizations that speak out against the administration's actions. It is sought to silence and go after organizations like TJC, like the NAACP, like the ACLU, like other organizations that are willing to speak truth to power. This is authoritarianism. This is the remnants of a dictator. This is what we're seeing before our eyes. This is the kind of administration that we should expect from Donald Trump. And y'all didn't mention this, but shame on any of those Democrats that voted for this bill. This bill will be back up on Wednesday. They're going to try to bring it back. It didn't pass when it was brought up initially because it didn't have 2/3. But this bill is coming back, and we shouldn't have a damn Democrat that supports this bill. This bill needs to go down. It needs to die. There is no way that we can give Trump this kind of unlimited power with a red trifecta and a potential attorney general like Gates. A potential these extremists that would go, he would be able to have, it would be unhinged. It's just terrifying to think of what he could do to these nonprofits that have the audacity to try to hold him accountable, or they believe in transparency and exposing the things that he's doing to, for example, mass deportations and migrant folks, or attacks on Muslim communities or Black communities, or don't even think about Black Lives Matter, who may be willing to protest. He would go after them. So, yes, this is very unprecedented. This is a slippery slope, and this is certainly un-American.
Well, I want everyone listening right now, write down this number. Take this number, dial it even. The number is to the Congressional Switchboard. We need you to call your House members, your congresspeople right now, and tell them you want to make sure that they're opposing H.R. 9495. And that number that you can call is area code 202-224-3121. That's 202 224-3121. That is the congressional switchboard. And when you when they answer, they're going to ask you who you want to speak to. You can tell them the name of your congressperson. You also can tell them what district you're in. You also can tell them what zip code you're in. They should be able to switch you over to your congressperson. Please be heard. Right, Daryl?
Oh, absolutely, Barbara. That's most important at this time, that people be heard. And, you know, Karen, one of the things, Dr. McCray, one of the things that's interesting on this H.R. 9495 bill was the number of Democrats that were initially supporting it. There were a lot of members of the Democratic Party that were supporting this H.R. 9495 resolution. And what drew them in was what I call the sweetener that they threw in this bill. And the sweetener was they put a provision in there that said that if you were overseas and you were being held as a hostage overseas, that you shouldn't have to pay taxes while you're overseas being held as a hostage, right? And people, oh, yeah, that makes sense, you know, going through all that. That was the sweetener that they threw in to try to throw folks off of what the bill was really about, and that is the attack on the C3s. So, you know, and so, Dr. McCray, when you hear about the sweetener that they've tried to throw in or that they've thrown in, and that many of the Democratic members of the Congress had been swayed and were going with that bill, and now they're moving against it as they're hearing the pushback, what is your response?
Well, and actually, let's clarify that this bill started as a bill to help the hostages. And then they added on this little ugly, fascistic, amendment to silence the organizations. And people just didn't catch the fact that there was this amendment and that it was different and would have negative consequences. They assumed that because the bill started off as a good bill, that it would end up as a good bill. Go ahead, Karen.
You know, I am so sick of feckless, Napoleonic idiots who are in control of these seats and to the detriment of our entire way of life and communities. The bill is the caveat to the bill is that it doesn't require the Secretary of Treasury to share their full evidence or reasoning to designate a 501c3 as a terror supporting organization. And if they want to appeal, which is very, you know, up to the discretion of the Treasury Secretary, they have 90 days to demonstrate their innocence before their 501c3 status can be revoked. But they don't even have benefit of the entire accusation. The problem with this admission is that it could risk irreparable damage to the operation and reputation of the nonprofit accused, because the implication often is worse than the actual.
That's right. People start fleeing. Money flees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Associated with terrorism is a death sentence in the nonprofit world.
Yes.
So the work is already there. It's like, go ahead.
No, I just wanted everybody to think back about how this playbook is working. Terry talked about the playbook. You talked about the playbook. I mean, we're seeing it because when DeSantis took over in Florida, the first thing he did was pass an anti-protest law. These kinds of, you know, shackled laws on freedom of expression, these anti-First Amendment laws have been proliferating in the states. We got to make sure it never gets to the national level. Again, folks, that switchboard number is 202-224-3121. Don't assume because your representative is a good person that they're on the right side of this bill, because I was shocked to see a couple of people I know well on supporting this crazy bad bill, including my own senator. My own House member, representative. So I'm going to call my congressman and say, what the heck is going on here? All right. We got so much to cover, and let's talk about one of the other very ugly things that's been in the news over and over and over again, and that is his renewed threats of these mass deportations. Whoa, Ron, you're on the front line in Texas. He's talking about declaring a national emergency, state of emergency, and he's talking about using the military to actualize his planning to just pick up and deport people. And remember, folks, he's not just talking about what you call, quote, illegal aliens, as if there's such a thing as a human being being illegal, but also he's talked that he's going to, you know, pick up and send back legal migrants. I mean, this man is out of control. What do you think, Ron? What will this do to Texas?
Well, Barbara, this is one of the things that he did throughout the campaign to appeal to a lot of the races, a lot of the anti-immigrant folks in this country, where he talked about mass deportation, where he's going to get rid of the criminals. But he's going to use this as a guise to go after any minorities, right, where you have to literally show your papers, where you have to prove this is going to separate families because there won't be any exemptions for people who have, you know, legal were born here, or people who have been married to someone that are seeking citizenship. I mean, this can be very catastrophic to immigrant families. And I want to remind people that this country was built on immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. Trump's own wife is an immigrant. So the hypocrisy runs very, very deep. But this will have a very chilling effect. We're going to see immigrants in cages again. We're going to see a lot of families destroyed, a lot of separation. And I think there's going to be, Barbara, a lot of buyer's remorse, a lot of the Hispanics that voted for Trump because they believed that he would be good for jobs. A lot of them are going to be adversely impacted. They won't. He's not just going to target the criminals. He's going to target the minorities, the immigrants. And so this is something that we believe is going to be catastrophic and detrimental to Hispanics. He's already talked about the Chinese and therefore Asians, Muslims, people who were upset with Biden, and rightfully so, because he didn't want to call for a ceasefire or conditional aid to Benjamin Netanyahu, and they punished Kamala for it, and they voted third party for Jill Stein, or undervoted, or even had the audacity to vote for Trump. Well, he is going to do more damage to the Palestinians and to the Muslims. He's going to give Putin everything that he wants in Russia. So he is someone who is enamored by dictators. So I'm very concerned about migrants. I'm very concerned about immigrants. I believe this puts cold ice on any pathway to citizenship that we needed in terms of immigration reform. Dreamers, They can dream on under a President Trump administration. So yes, I'm very concerned as a one of the initial immigrants in this country that came on slave ships that built this country. I'm very concerned about other immigrants and their status going forward, especially asylum seekers. I think there won't be exceptions for them. We've welcomed our brothers from Haiti, and we saw when he talked about them eating dogs and cats. So, yes, this is going to be very problematic, not just for Texas and other border states, but people all over this country.
Amen. Amen. And yes, go ahead.
I just want to say another thing about this. I am not convinced that he's actually going to be able to pull off deporting all these millions of people that he wants the military to round up. I fear that what the ultimate intention is to round up immigrants and migrants, take them to detention camps,
right,
where allegedly they're waiting for deportation. And in the meantime, you have Elon Musk cutting the federal government by, you know, one third. Right. And what are we going to do with those prisoners? Well, maybe we'll put them to work in the privatized part of. So Elon Musk is not just cutting. He's not going to take $2 trillion out of the federal government. He's going to convert $2 trillion worth of federal government work to privatized for-profit efforts. And where are you going to get the workers for that? Well, maybe you turn to the detention camps, and we go back to the days of something like, you know, the prisoner lease